Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Justin Nimmergood, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to another exciting episode of the Concierge Coaches Show here on LA Talk Radio. I'm Bruce Cameron, along with Justin Nimmergood.
Hello, Bruce, and happy Monday. It's another scorcher out here in Southern California today. What's going on in Texas?
Yeah, it's pretty, it is pretty warm out here today, too. Man, it feels like it's 100, but a little bit of humidity down here in Pleasantville. Former stomping. No, we're doing good. So
they're in South Lake HQ today.
Yes, sir, in full effect. So I can see our guests on the live feed here. I'm looking at them, yeah. But they can't see me. That's awesome.
I know. Yeah. So Bruce and I have a couple of things to catch up on, but just a quick note to all our live streaming audience out there. You are viewing Annie and Amin. They are our guests for the show today, which I'll be introducing here in a moment, which we're excited to share a bit about their story. But before we get into that, Bruce, what's been going on with you? What's new in Pleasantville, Texas stomping grounds, what you're doing with some of your projects? What's new in your world?
Let's see. Yeah, had a pretty good uptick in some cases, but working with some private pilots for they fly corporate people around. So based out of here, where you have two or three, airports in the Metroplex that really Meacham Field in Fort Worth, Love Field in Dallas, and actually Addison International. They're near the Keller Springs Toll Road area. So
nice.
So yeah, it kind of a interesting crew we picked up there. And these folks have high stress, I guess, a more high stress personal lives. That's the best way to put it. They have very high stress personal lives, and we're helping them navigate through those waters. There, no pun intended, but navigate through that to get to a better place. Because you got to be in tip top shape flying these C-suite and beyond people from here to there. And so that was a very, 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 very interesting. So yeah, it's kind of interesting.
Is that Southwest still, or
no? I still have a contract with Southwest. I'm a vendor, official vendor for them. This is another private kind of an aviation group, that is on deck and ready to deploy and fly C-suites, here and there. So they have a little fleet of jets and Falcons and Phenoms and stuff like that, and they just kind of go at it. So I'm trying to scam a flight from somebody, but nothing.
You figure helping all these folks that fly private for a living, they might kick you back, I'll fly you private or whatever, give you a couple of freebies for your coaching sessions or something.
They did, but it was with Spirit. I'm like, damn.
Oh, no. Hey,
just kidding. It's a joke.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Spirit, man, the Greyhound of the air. God almighty. Woo. Yeah. Spirit. I feel like I'm sitting in a child's car seat. The Freon coming out of the vents, and just all the languages spoken at Spirit. So anyway, So other than that, yeah, that was the highlight of the week there. And what else? Son's going to be starting college here in a few weeks. Just really kind of drilling down on his, I don't want to say exit, but his departure and getting everything settled in down there. I got the parking sticker from Texas A&M University. That was a huge feat. The on-campus parking was a huge deal, as you may be able to recall back in the day when you've had family at nearby schools have to.
Well, I remember that situation at Austin. It was a big pain in the ass. So
you can imagine that's the nail biter, you know, just like, do we get the good parking sticker? Oh my gosh. And just wait, you know, wait for it to come in. And now the meal plan bill has come in. Lovely. So, going to be hitting the meal plan. And I love how they do the onboarding with parents. Like, they hit you with this and then the tuition. Like, I love
it's all it, all the add-ons. They know how to roll it out and milk it for every last dollar, don't they?
Oh, it's phenomenal. I'm taking notes, so I can do the same thing later on with some of my classroom strategies.
Call it college tuition the new biggest scam in America.
Well, that's right. And speaking of, American Greed starts at their season on CNBC on the 12th. The first episode is going to be that college scandal with all those folks, some of the folks in California that paid money to do this and that. So be sure and watch that. So that's going to be some fun entertainment. How about yourself? Anything in the Bablet channel partner business?
Yeah, it was another great week for me, but continuing to further entrench myself in the Irvine Chamber and with other projects. And I've actually met up with these two lovely individuals sitting here on camera and beside me here at their HQ today. So it's been a really great, you know, July was a really great month. I'm excited about August. There's no, you know, as much as I love the July 4th holiday, and some of the other holidays, they provide a bit of an interruption from a business perspective, which is somewhat challenging to, you know, get a handle on from time to time. But I'm excited. You know, this is going to be a great month. It's wide open. No holidays, no interruptions. You know, pedal to the metal. Let's go. So I'm excited about this month, and even more so excited, the two lovely individuals I'm speaking of, you know, Mr. Amin Farid and Miss Annie Kamyab here on camera for our live streamers out there on Instagram and on Facebook. We appreciate you tuning in today. This is definitely an episode you won't want to miss. And these two, you know, just after having met Annie originally through the Irvine Chamber a couple months ago, and then her lovely lovely husband, Amin.
I'll take it.
You know, developed quite a nice bond and relationship from there. And just hearing their story is quite amazing. So these two were born and raised in Iran. Annie, I'm sorry, specifically was. And she had to work extra hard to triumph in a male-dominated society. So while she was working on her BA degree, she worked as an event manager for a multinational oil and gas seminars company, creating agendas for food catering. She's an expert in event management, and she knows the amount of work and planning it takes to successfully execute virtually any event. By the way, I've seen this firsthand. You want to talk about a train operator and someone that can keep things on time and on schedule and emails back within the hour. This woman is on top of it. She just, when you talk about train operator, telephone operator, I think about Annie. So she's amazing. She came to the U.S. and she became a product manager who helped catering companies, restaurants, and hotels with their marketing efforts. While assisting the restaurants and catering companies, Annie saw a gap. Even though restaurants were experts in creating or cooking great food, they were inconsistent in their customer service efforts. Right. And I'm sure we've all experienced that in the restaurant industry. You know, sometimes your service is good. Sometimes it's bad. Maybe the food is somewhat consistent. But she saw this gap and she said, all right, I want to start a company out of this that fills this niche, that fills this gap. So her and Amin, her lovely husband, they founded Catering for Corporate, to fill that gap. Catering for corporate is a one-of-a-kind experience. It's white glove, it's hassle-free, it's impeccable presentation, and it's always on-time catering company, which she's very, very proud of, by the way, as you can tell. For those of you that are watching out there, she definitely takes great pride in the punctuality piece of what they do, which is good to see nowadays. It truly makes the catering experience effortless and stress-free for event coordinators from start to finish. Again, their website is cateringforcorporate.com. Without further ado, I'd like to proudly welcome Amin and Annie to our show. Welcome, Amin and Annie.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Jessa, and thank you, Bruce. I really appreciate you guys having us here.
Happy to have you here. Happy to have you here. Now, I know I just shared a little bit of your bio, and it was kind of a short synopsis. I'm sure there's a lot more to that, but you know, tell us and tell the listeners out there and our live streamers out there, tell them a little bit about yourself.
Well, probably she is the she's actually the idea behind CFC. So I'm gonna have her start first. Talk about it.
I'm an American Iranian, and I came to the U.S. About 11 years ago. So before that, I was living in Iran at some time, about like 5 years in Dubai. During that time, of course, all that women have challenges over there. And while I started my school at Iran, Iranian University, I studied mathematics. And while I was a student, I was also an activist for women's rights and students' rights. And unfortunately, due to those activities, after 3 years of study, I had to stop my education there and leave the school. And from there, I started my job. I was hired in a oil and gas industry company that I was in charge of managing conferences and seminars. Those conferences were in like a larger scale international conferences, about like around like 2,000 guests every time. So during that time, I got really proficient in that field, dealing with all the details from setting up the agendas to coordinating food and catering for the events. And during this time, thank God I got another opportunity to continue my education. So I studied business management. And I was working and I was studying. And in the meantime, I met Amin, my husband. We fell in love. We decided to get married. And then I had to move to the U.S. To live with him.
Oh, she had to.
It wasn't that easy the way she portrayed it. It took a long time. But regarding myself, I'm actually have a different background. I'm an Iranian American as well, but I was born in Kuwait. I actually was not living in Iran for too long. I've been all over the different countries. From Greece to Turkey to I lived in Germany for about 4 years as well before immigrating to the United States. So I have when I came to this country, I went to UCSD, finished my studies, got my bachelor's degree, and I went into finance. So my background is finance. The idea is actually Annie has really great expertise when it comes to events, and that she talked to me about it. And we thought it was a great idea to open a family business in this realm, basically. And that's
And you're being humble and modest, but I'm gonna go off script a little bit here. But go back, because that was kind of a humorous moment I saw between the two of you here. She's like, oh, well, we met and fell in love and whatever. So how was he able to successfully land that relationship, Andy?
It took a very long time.
It took a very long time.
He actually refused to talk to me for a very long time. But I made it.
Actually, it was I had the pleasure of having sushi with them recently and heard a little bit more about that. So I know there's a lot more backstory to that story. And it required a kind of a long process, like he said, which is funny. So just reminded me of that fun night. So tell me, if you would, a little bit, you know, you sort of touched on it, but I want to dig deeper on this piece of you making the transition and making the move from Iran, and I know you were Germany and you lived in some other countries overseas as well,
correct,
and deciding to make the move to America. Can you just tell our listeners a little bit more about that decision and that process?
Actually, well, what happened is basically, I was born in Kuwait, and then my parents were living there for a very long time, so my family decided to go back to Iran to live. And I was 13, 14 until I finished my high school. And honestly, I just did not like the environment there. It was not for me. I'm a firm believer in personal freedom, so it was definitely a hard time for me. So I decided to leave. And leaving there was not easy for me. It took me a very long time. I went to Turkey first. I stayed there for a while. Then I had to walk 250 miles three times between Greece and Turkey.
Wow.
To get to Athens. So it was
You had to walk 250 miles three times?
Three times.
So 750 miles you walked.
Within like 2 months, probably.
That's almost like Forrest Gump stuff.
Yeah. the thing about it, Justin, is when I got to Greece, when I got to Athens, I never looked back. I never said, okay, what have I done? I was very happy when I got there. And I had $100 in my pocket. That's it. So
wow.
I had to start new in a new environment, language that I have no idea of, not even English. They speak all Greek, of course. So I had to work there. And then I lived there for a year. And then I moved to Germany. And in Germany, I love Germany. Germany was actually definitely a place I would love to see again. But I lived there for almost 4 years. I learned the language. I worked there. And I met a lot of beautiful people that helped me immigrate to the States.
That's wonderful.
But it was definitely not easy. It was a long process.
You know, that's such a great story. And you both have a very powerful story about coming to America and just sort of the trials, tribulations, and overcoming obstacles and whatnot. But I just love that, because it's like you literally walk. I know, like, The Rock, he had a story that he came out and shared recently. This is a couple of years ago, about how he had, you know, about $100 in his pockets. Same sort of story. But you did it essentially on three separate reasons.
Yes.
That is true testament to just grit, just getting through. And to me, Bruce and I talk a lot about this on the show, and chime in wherever you see fit, Bruce, just about, you know, the concept of an entrepreneur versus a wife. And to me, an entrepreneur is someone that has that grit, that will do whatever it takes, that will put in the extra work, might even take the second job at night, you know, when no one's watching, to keep their hope and dream of, you know, their business alive, right? And I see that within you guys and your work ethic. It's no doubt you're going to be successful as entrepreneurs, as business owners for years to come, because you just have it. But some people wish it to be true, right? And I think there's a very clear distinction. I don't know if you heard anything in there, Bruce, that you'd add to that point.
No, I think that's great. You know, to show, you know, that you've been able to, you know, endure the travels, see these different cultures, come here and do what you're doing is fantastic. I'm looking at the food right now that you guys did for Edison about 2 months ago. Did y'all cater something at Edison?
Yes, they order all the time from us, correct?
Oh my God, yes. So I was trying to load the pictures of the food onto the site. I'm sorry, it's like porn or something. Looking at this food, but
food is
it's mesmerizing. The rice and the different things you had, really, really good. I took the liberty of looking at some of your. You have a LinkedIn page for the catering as well. I mean, as your own LinkedIn presence there, real good, real solid. I'm already a believer. 2,000 miles away, ready to dive in to anything you guys cook. It just looks fantastic, and you can tell the folks of Edison really enjoyed it. But anyway, I know that's not what we're supposed to talk about.
That's a perfect segue, Bruce. Perfect segue to kind of our next talking point here that I want to make sure our listeners hear. So, and you both touched on it a little bit, but perhaps, and even we can parlay it with the story about Edison, but just how you founded Catering for Corporate, and then sort of, if you want to tell, you know, a little bit more about that story since he brought up Edison. And kind of how you've really addressed that, I would say, emergency need in the market, right?
Yes. So basically, when I came to the U.S., after a couple of months, I started working in a marketing company as a project manager. This marketing company, they were mostly in the hospitality industry. And from there, I had a really good opportunity to work closely with catering companies and restaurants. And from closely observe all the challenges, all the details and operations and everything that I had to know about this. So I noticed that there are some challenges there. There are some problems especially with the customer service part, because restaurants and catering companies are really good with their food preparations and cooking. They make really good food, but as I said, when it comes to their customer service, they can't stay consistent most of the time. So we came up with this idea of Catering for Corporate at the time, and then we talked about that in our family, and so we basically started this as a family business. So basically, what we do here is providing the food from over 30 food providers, which, by the way, all of them are 4 stars and up, nothing below that. And we take care of the service part perfectly. Like for the customer service, we provide white glove catering service. And we cover whatever needs that it's needed there for event coordinators. Basically, this is the concept and how we came up with this idea, especially with my experience before that I had with event management.
So, you had been doing it for like a decade or so, right? And then you guys officially founded the company. It was about, 15 months ago?
Yeah, it was founded in February 2018.
Okay, all right. So you're about a year and a half ago.
Yes.
So, been in business officially under the Catering for Corporate umbrella for almost 2 years, going on 2 years now. But again, you know, Annie comes with, you know, breadth of and depth of experience for over a decade. So they saw this need, and that's what was outstanding to me when I heard their story and knew their expertise in this arena. It's like, when you have people that are hyper specialists, have passion for what they're doing, and then have the expertise for years before that, you know you've got a secret sauce, right? That's, you know, you got in and out secret sauce or whatever, to use your example, you know, to talk about it a little bit. So I'm really excited for them. And in fact, we're going to quickly segue. So for you live streamers out there, we're going to actually just quickly pop into...
it's
we're going to quickly talk about the operation in a moment, but before we do, tell us about your most proud accomplishment so far at Catering for Corporate. And I think this, you know, I have an idea of what this might be, but maybe even talking about that one story might be, I think, something interesting for the listeners out there.
Well, to start with, I mean, just creating this company was an accomplishment by itself. I mean, we had passion, we knew what we were trying to accomplish, and of course, Annie had saw the gap when we started that. However, to be proud of something, I must say that during the wildfires, the Woolsey fire last year in November. We helped Edison actually with the food needs. Believe it or not, we've been in and out of here like constantly. Annie, we only slept two hours a night sometimes just to provide food to the employees, Edison employees who were at the fire locations. They were working hard. I mean, some of them were living in that location for probably 2 months or 3 months just to take care of everything. So we had the pleasure to take the food, take care of them, and thank God they liked our food, they liked our service, and that's a really big accomplishment for us. We never missed any order. We took care of them. We had I must say that. You feel another way when you see all these people are happy with having the food, and they see it, they like the food, and we always kind of like talking to them and all that, and we see the passion in them, basically, and what they do and provided for them. So yeah, I guess this is a big one for us, actually, for me and Annie. That was a big one, and every time we go somewhere and talk about accomplishment, this is actually a number one that we pride ourselves
on. We kind of like tasted our capacity there.
Yes, that's
because
true.
We were servicing them like for breakfast, lunch, dinner, and all of the sack lunches for their backpacks. So it was like constant work, 24 hours, and we made it. So
yeah,
it was great.
We survived.
Yeah. And like with our drivers and servers, the schedules, we had to take care of them as well. So with the schedules and everything. We thank God we made it all.
And the other thing we can say we are proud of doing is the last minute requests. We'll do our best to basically take care of those last minute requests. We don't like telling our customer that no, we cannot do. We go above and beyond to take care of this customer. Because it's understandable. Imagine the people who are actually ordering these food are so busy that a lot of details they might not even think of. And they say, oh, I need this or I need that. And we'll do it. We'll take care of it in the best way possible.
Those are both great stories. And I love hearing from, you know, entrepreneurs, business owners, coaches on our show, when they have a story where it's not just a profit-driven story, although, by the way, this was one of their most lucrative accounts since they've opened for business, being Southern California Edison. But it was about the mission behind it. And I love what you said, Annie, about testing your capacity and testing your limits as a company, you know, like you said, breakfast, lunch, dinner, everything in between. I think, Amin, you shared, hey, I think I was sleeping 2 hours a night for like 3 months.
And I'm willing to do it again. That's that, because we like what we do, honestly. We like what we do.
And that's the difference between an entrepreneur and a entrepreneur there, folks. So, and for those of you watching out there, when you see them answer questions like that, you can just tell they're tuned in. They love what they do. They love working together, by the way, which I give them a lot of kudos, because I don't know that I could work with my other half nonstop every day. But I watch them work together, and they work very well together, and they love what they do, right? And they both have certain skill sets and areas of expertise that they bring to the table. So really appreciate you sharing that. I mean, is there anything else that kind of is along that same vein since you've opened for business? Or it could be non-business related, by the way. That's sort of your another shining star accomplishment that you'd notate.
Well, for me, I would say my life is full of these triumph stories, I would say. So it's been long, lots of times that I got to the bottom of the, hit the bottom. But I found this power in myself every time to stand up again and start from the zero again. So I really appreciate this in myself, that I, now that I know that I have this power, and no matter what happens, I always know that I can overcome.
That's right.
Yeah, so I already tested my limitations. Yeah. So.
I guess this is something that you'll eventually learn. Definitely immigration is not an easy thing. And starting from zero, starting from every level of your life, either be it school or anything, a new language, it doesn't matter. I mean, that starting from zero, I can't say we are immune to it now. We're used to it. We've done it over and over again. For me, same thing when I moved again in this way from Turkey to Greece. And that I learned something, and that's you have to go after where your passion is. You have to accomplish. You have to go forward. You can't look backwards. You have to go forward.
That's right. Stay looking forward. And I can imagine that if you walk 250 miles on three separate occasions with, a couple bucks in your pocket, or you've also moved all around the world as well, started your own company, relaunched it now here recently in the recent months.
Mm-hmm.
When you've done those things, when you've checked those off your list, there's not too much out there that really probably scares you. Is that safe to say?
Yeah.
I mean, we're... we like risky stuff, I guess. we both are big fan of scuba diving. We love scuba diving.
This is scuba with the sharks.
Yeah, I would do that. No problem. So yeah, the risk taking is definitely it comes with the territory. Once you do that over and over, you develop a thick skin. I guess. Yeah.
Nice. So. We talked about accomplishment. How about, and it's a similar word, but slightly different, triumph. Maybe share your favorite story of triumph. Maybe where, so he's like, your story of accomplishment I thought was perfect for the Southern California Edison, for example. I mean, that is a huge milestone marker, and just the amount of business you did with them in that short amount of period alone, and how you served their immediate, urgent needs on a daily basis, I think was outstanding. But what about triumph? You were at your lowest, or you were knocked down, maybe, and how you were able to overcome it, as many entrepreneurs out there do, by the way. And this is a common thing.
Were we able to overcome it? It's working hard. I mean, plan everything, and just be. I mean, we're dedicated to do our best service. We don't have a fallback plan. We raise our standards and we stick to those standards. And this is how we accomplish these things. Because once you set a lower standard, then you're not doing what you believe in, basically.
Right. I'm sorry, were you going to add something there?
Well, with our business, when we started, as I mentioned, it was a family business that we started. And unfortunately, after a while, although we were doing really great business-wise, it didn't go as we were expecting. So again, but we never thought, we never had a second thought of going one step before that. Like, we always wanted, we had it like, we wanted to go advance and forward this. And now we are relaunching the business, and I'm really happy for that. And I believe in this business that we are doing in our mission, in our abilities. And I'm pretty confident that we can, no matter what, we can always make it. And
I have no doubt too. I have no doubt too. And I won't speak too much on it, but I will just add, you know, these two have an amazing and an incredible story. I mean, that story of triumph, she just only gave you a glimpse into it. But imagine starting, as I'm sure many entrepreneurs out there have, starting a business with your family and things don't go according to plan. And then you're forced to sort of sever ties in that business with the family and then, you know, go your separate ways. But having this undeniable passion and mission for what you're in, conviction for what you're doing. And that's really what they're talking about, is that it didn't change anything for them, just the players at the table.
Yes.
Right. So I'm excited, and I'm excited, obviously, to be working with them in the capacity that I'm able to now, where, you know, they are going through this relaunch and rebrand and rebirthing process, if you will. It's a fun time. It's scary, I'm sure, but not too scary. But it's fun. I think it's exciting. It's
exciting.
We get to kind of, you know, repaint the picture a little bit.
Yes.
Yeah. In any hardship, you will discover more about your powers.
Your abilities.
Your abilities.
True. Yeah.
That's awesome. So tell us a little bit about how you approach catering for corporate regarding your differentiation from the market. So let me be specific here for a moment. For those of you listeners out there, or again, our live streaming audience out there, when you hear the word caterer, I think that already has a conception, like a misconception, like a caterer is what? And then especially in today's society, with the advances in technology and apps like Uber Eats and Grubhub and whatnot, I think there's now this confusion in the market where, what is a caterer anymore? And then, so that's the first part of the question. And the second part of the question is, how do you really differentiate yourself in this growing and more competitive catering market or catering landscape?
Well, to start with the catering, I mean, when you say catering, a lot of people think making food, basically. it is different with us. We, as Annie was saying, that the idea was to provide a greater service to our customers, as well as getting the best food from best restaurants out there. That's the idea. Now, regarding what differentiate, I will let Annie discuss that further.
First of all of our food providers are, as I mentioned before, also they are all 4 stars and up. And also,
can I stop you there? So speak a little bit more about that 4 out of 5 stars, and what does that mean? Like, because you guys have ate a lot of different places. Like, so what? Talk to me about what a 4-star quality restaurant is.
There are 2 tests. One is the whatever you see on the internet.
Okay.
The second is me. I'm a picky eater. I'm very picky when it comes to restaurants. I'm very honest. To me, food has to be good. I mean, of course, there are different tastes, but you'll see that. I mean, when you go to, we are very picky when it comes to who to choose. So 4 stars is what the you see in the internet. Nothing below the 4 stars. Anything above that. Actually, a lot of our restaurants are 4.5 stars, but this is our this is the minimum. We do not go below 4 stars.
So is it safe to say that your belief is you let the critics, which is you let the market dictate sort of what your provider pool is?
Yes.
Right? Because you're like, hey, if enough people give enough reviews that are positive, I know people can do reputation management and all that, yes, but not so. That much, right? Like, no. You can't get it artificially to a 5-star
no.
rating.
You cannot.
Or
no.
a 4.5-star rating. No. You can maybe get a couple of your most negative reviews after time, but you can't artificially boost it that much. So your thought process is, hey, we're going to take the sample pool of what the critics or what the audience out there says is acceptable, and that is our bare means minimum baseline for our food.
Yes.
Awesome.
Our customers are also part of that review. So if we see a restaurant is not living to the expectation of our customers, we definitely will not provide those food to them.
Awesome. Awesome. Mm-hmm. So that's one part of it. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but I thought that was a really important part of it.
Yeah, so the other thing is that we are a catering concierge. So we don't just pick up the food and deliver or drop off. We actually go there and set up the food very beautiful and nice. To the presentation should look beautiful. And we have certain standards that we always train our basically food runners and our employees to go based on that. That's also one thing we all would like. For example, for hot food, we always serve it in shipping dishes so people can get the real taste there.
It's not just paper plates and thrown out and figure it out for yourself then?
No, definitely not. So all the serving items we provided ourselves. It's nothing from the restaurants. With that, also, we have certain standards. We make sure that everything is eco-friendly, sustainable with that, too, and beautiful still. And then that's for disposable. And when it goes to the higher-end meetings for executives or things, events at that level, we can do fine china and all of high-end shipping dishes and everything that it's requested. So we have a very wide range of servicing and capacity. So that's also one of the difference with us. When it's right that we provide the food from other restaurants, but when it comes to the service, we provide all the catering needs and catering service completely.
What I would say also, what differentiate us from the rest is our mission. Our mission is to provide impeccable, hassle-free, from the start to the end, service to our customers. So everything that comes with that. So starting from order taking, I know a lot of people don't even have time to go through that. We'll help you find the menu. We'll help you find whatever you need. Desserts, whatever you need, we'll provide that to you. You approve it. It goes to comes to us. We approve it. Go through details with the restaurant. Make sure they understand the menu. That way, everything is done correctly, and the best presentation. So, as Annie said, we have all different from standard luncheon with employees to a high end executive meetings. That require China or whatever. So this is embedded in our mission, the mission statement of this company.
It's different than a bolt-on, which I'll leave some of your competitors nameless, but that you see out in the market, that they're just a drop-off service.
Basically.
And this is the biggest thing that I noticed with you, when I even was starting to understand and formulate my understanding of your value proposition in the market. You're so much different than a delivery service.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. We're not a delivery service, if you look at it. I mean, we are a concierge service.
Concierge service.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's it.
Think butler. Think white glove. Think
perfect.
Exactly.
Yes. Yeah.
And most important part of all of this is that we are always on time. Always, always.
Yeah. Timing is very
important. Yeah. So during this almost 2 years that we've been working, it's never one incident that we've been 5 minutes late.
Think about that. And you guys have had hundreds of orders.
Yeah, very,
hundreds of orders. And Southern California traffic, might I add. Yes. That takes impeccable timing, but also impeccable planning. Yes. And that's a testament to both of you and your expertise in this area, which I think it's unfortunately, like, you know, people, I think in Southern California, at least from what I've noticed, they have a very much more kind of kick back, relax, except when you're talking in a business context. And I bet you those clients, especially Southern California Edison, among others, when push came to shove and they needed to know, make sure their people were getting fed, they were more than thrilled to keep giving you business, knowing that they could count on you time and time again. Sorry,
Time is money. I mean, time is money. And if you know, Edison or whomever's putting on the thing, bunch goes from here to here, you guys being there and ready and whatnot. And like you said, with you know, no delays or issues on that sense, I mean, companies just appreciate that, you know. And I know everything I've ever catered, you know, was always a snafu, you know, somewhere, a problem somewhere. So to know that you guys are on point, ready to go, you know, like I said, just 5-star, ready to go and in and out and do whatever the job requires. Just, you know, your clients, companies, et cetera, are going to really appreciate that.
Absolutely. Yeah. I really, it's like I said, Bruce, even though I haven't known them too long, I mean, you can see it. And this just, again, I think it's a reflection of the entrepreneur paradigm that we constantly see on our show. By the way, I thought you would appreciate it as a sidebar, as they've been going through this rebranding and kind of rebirthing, relaunch process, you know, they still have another slogan, right, which is creating tasteful experiences, which they still use on some of their
nice
items. But they now use Your Catering Concierge as their new rebranded slogan. So I thought it was only appropriate that we had Your Catering Concierge on the Concierge Coaches show here this week.
Yes. The official caterer of the show, you know.
There you
absolutely go. We have an official grocery store. And now we have an official caterer, so we're racking up our official train of services that we have here on the show. No, that's awesome, good stuff.
So I know we're running up on time here, but you know, kind of the final question here is, I mean, what else is there? Anything else? It could be business, it could be catering or non-catering related that you'd want the listeners here today to leave with, you know, from your episode here today?
Well, the biggest thing I really want to convey out there is we're not here just as another business. We're here to basically solve a problem. Because we know a lot of people don't have time, as you said, Bruce, a lot of people don't have time to think about certain things. We are adding value to the whole process. We're not just a caterer, just to bring people. We're actually more interested in giving you more time to worry about other things and think about the catering company as a breeze. Just they'll do everything. I don't have to worry about anything else. I think that's
We'll become basically your right hand and take off some of the burdens and hassles from your shoulder, because I've been in your shoes once and I know you have lots of details to deal with.
It's like having a whole extra team, you know, with you for this facet, which again I think is going to be a quite important one, especially from a business perspective. All accounts and all reports I keep seeing are that, you know, hey, lunch and learns and networking events and all that with catered food and drink, it's here to stay for a while. And it's actually, from what I've seen, especially with the advances of AI, machine learning, robotics technology, the importance of creating impactful events, again, whether it's a breakfast event or it's an executive dinner or whatnot, but that leaves a memorable impression, is more important than ever. Because so many of those other tasks are being automated, when you do get people together, those events better be on point. So this company is here, and they're here to stay, no doubt about that.
Thank you.
So I think that's it for us for today. The last question I have is really, where can tell the listeners out there and our viewers out there, tell them where they can find more information about you two and Catering for Corporate if they want to learn more about your process or perhaps even ordering with you for their company or for one of their upcoming events.
So basically our website, www.cateringforcorporate.com, that's the main source. And then we have Catering for Corporate pages in Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn. And you always can also just give me a call, contact me. My name is Annie, and I'm always here at your service. So
the phone number is 844-423-3444. Also, you can reach us either Annie@caseinforcorporate.com. You can reach me, Amin, it's spelled A-M-E-E-N, @cateringforcorporate.com. And you can also use orders @cateringforcorporate.com.
Great. So we got email, we got web, we got all your social media pages. They're all loaded up, ready to rock and roll, and ready to be your catering concierge. Amin and Annie, thank you so much for being on our show today. It was an absolute privilege and pleasure to have you on.
Our pleasure.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Bruce, I'm going to kick it back to Texas. Why don't you take us home?
All right. Absolutely. I'm on their website right now after seeing that food. Gee whiz on that Edison thing. Yeah. Catering for Corporate. Great website. Very well done. Nice connection points there. I love the walkthrough, location, delivery, and then the rewards. Really good. Kudos to you guys for such a clean, simple, and very powerful site. Kudos to you for that. And also LinkedIn looks really good too. So I'm always a maven. I'm looking over the stuff. So folks, yeah, come by, come by the show summary on our iTunes or whatever, and you'll be able to get the links for Catering for Corporate, and just a real good offering, and also entrepreneurs in their own right, helping other entrepreneurs and businesses. So with that, we'll bid everybody a great week here on the Concierge Coaches Show. Come by and see us on LinkedIn, at The Concierge Coaches. We're on LinkedIn. We're on Instagram. We are on Facebook. And come by the LA Talk Radio site. All our shows are archived. And we're also on iTunes podcasts as well, with all our shows there ready for you to download or listen in a dedicated player. And we have show descriptions on the sites. I can be reached at conciergecoach.net. And Justin, how can folks reach you?
Nimmergood.com, the one and only. Thank
you. One and only. That's one and only. Absolutely. Okay, folks. Well, that's a wrap for this weekend. Come visit with us next week here on the Concierge Coaches on LA Talk Radio. And we'll see y'all then. Take care, everybody.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Justin Nimmergood, only on LA Talk Radio.